bouncing through the lattice Calvino has set up. Frau Lipp lives in a stone house. The walls are very thick, shutting out the city noise and preventing iciness seeping into the house, making it difficult for anything from outside to invite itself into the house. She has a punctual daily schedule, reading the newspaper, doing a crossword puzzle, and watching the symphony play on television. And she has another routine practice, that of observing the objects that surround her through a monocular. This is her way of working towards her desire to be set free one day. Until then, she restricts herself from going outside of the house, even to the balcony or to the different rooms of the house. This limitation indeed brings her closer to the state she wishes to reach. She is responsible, always trying to be self-sufficient, even considering the things people will have to take care of after she disappears. She doesn't wish to cause grief to her loved ones. She has experienced it. She knows what suffering it can be. She is careful to maintain a distance from her surroundings, not to be too close with them carelessly, although she desires to have some sort of tie, to have some company with her. She decides to get a canary, but she doesn't want the canary to feel lonely or left alone when she goes away, so she buys a pair of canaries. The pair of yellow canaries in the cage, whether sisters, a couple, or complete strangers, fly along, sing together, and sleep side by side. She gains company, yet the pair of canaries accentuates the missing partner that would complete a pair with her. She looks at the feathers of the canaries through her monocular and slips into her upstairs bathroom. In her memory, lemon-yellow tiles cover the floor and walls. The bathroom, physically above her head, but separated by the ceiling, is as remote as anything in the universe. It exists out of the boundary she has established. At the same time, it is there instantly, like all the things imagined in her mind. Mr. Palomar appears. He is a considerate person who also keeps his distance from people, preferring to spend time alone, reflecting on matters and himself. He has been thinking for a long time without communicating his thoughts. He believes that matters exist that they might not take any shape or be able to be received or perceived some day. When two similar characters encounter each other, it is natural and instant that they begin spending time together and sharing things, enjoying their companionship while appreciating the appropriate distance to keep. They plan a trip together and call it a silver moon. How perfect it is to embark on a silver moon, and thankfully not a honeymoon. The distilled time and accumulated memories residing in us make our moon lighter and more romantic. "Will you go on the moon with me, Frau Lipp?" asked Mr. Palomar gentlemanly. "Delightedly, Mr. Palomar. Two conditions I wish to ask you, though. One, we ought to use my monocular as our vehicle through the moon. I cannot abandon my practice in the middle of the way. Two, we ought to be tasteful of our decisions and the things we surround ourselves." Mr. Palomar replies, "Did you call upon me, knowing me as a remarkable telescope of the last century? I am grateful for being older, to acquire some taste and roundness around myself." They set out on their moon with carefully packed suitcases. In Frau Lipp's white leather suitcase, a pleated white dress, a pair of white lace gloves, a sunshade umbrella, a black and white patterned shawl, a wristwatch, a handbag, a little compact with powder, cream, a soap box, a toothbrush case, a shoehorn made of cast enamel, and an alarm clock. In Mr. Palomar's dark brown leather suitcase, a light grey suit with a white handkerchief in the pocket, two neckties, white press shirts, a straw hat, a camera, a radio, a timetable, and two brands of cigarettes, Hope and Camel.